You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
On a freezing night in the winter of 2000, Daryl Knight was dumped out of a police car in the outskirts of Saskatoon and left to make his own way back. He was lucky. He survived. A few weeks later, Lawrence Wegner and Rodney Nystis were not so lucky. Their frozen bodies were found within days of each other, and Daryl Knight decided to come forward to tell his story. These tragic deaths were the starting place for a new Canadian short, Out in the Cold. It's showing this weekend at the Vancouver International Film Festival. And I'm joined in the studio this morning by producer Sarah Abbott and actor Errol Canestino.
Good morning.
Welcome. So I'll start out by asking, Sarah, how did you get involved in the film?
It's more like the film got involved in me. I set out to make a really small drama with my students. I teach film production at the University of Regina. My third year film students, I thought we could make a quick film, shoot it on the weekend, some very small, 5 minutes long maybe. And then the director, who was Colleen Murphy, was the playwright in residence at the University of Regina at the time, and she's also a filmmaker. And I said, Colleen, would you like to make a film? You could direct it, and we've got a great gaffer in town, he could light it. And she said, let me think about it. And 3 days later, she came back with this script written by Cheryl Jack. And when I read it, there was absolutely no way I was not going to make the film.
It's an amazing film. I saw it last night on DVD. Errol, what's tell us about your character in the film.
I play a character called Cold as Ice, and I've gone to the spirit world. So when I see this young man getting thrown out of this police car, I quickly go over and drag him to our little camp out in the cold and say, "Hey, look what I found! Somebody else to talk to besides you, soft as snow." And proceed. I'm going to welcome him to the spirit world by smothering him and killing him and saying, "Hey, wow, somebody else I can drink with or whatever, and welcome to the world that we live in, because this guy's kind of boring, the soft as snow," which is Gordon Tzu's character. And, well, the story turns out that Gordon's character doesn't want him to go to the spirit world, and we end up setting up this card game so that he wins all our clothes and he revives, and he somehow mysteriously doesn't freeze and he goes back to the real world with the hopes that someone will come back and find our bones and tell our story as well, and make contact with people in the real world. So it's quite an interesting artistic way of saying something big. That's why I liked this script. I really thought, hey, what a really neat way to say something huge, mm-hmm. and not having to pound it through somebody's head like some documentaries that, make people feel guilty about, it being part of the oppressors, and I imagine this is going around the world with a lot of people that are powerless and, don't have much of a chance in life, and the police are there to protect society. So, it could be Chinese people doing it to Tibetans, or it's a unique way, but for us on the prairies, it's really a bold way as actors to say, "Hey, look at, we want to expose something, an injustice that's happening in our community."
It's interesting because when I heard that we were going to be, I heard yesterday that we were going to be talking to you on the show today, and I was told that the film was based on Daryl Knight's story. I didn't imagine anything like the film that I saw last night. And one of the things that struck me is that there's humor in the film, and the two characters, Soft as Snow and Cold as Ice, which you play, Errol, joke around as they're talking to Thomas, who is dumped in the snow. How does that humor fit with the grim story that they're telling?
I think it kind of uniquely ties into the way Aboriginal people have survived, to look at yourself and find the humor in our situation, like our economic status or our loss of control in our lives, historically. That hasn't been the case over history. you know, the shoe was on the other foot a few years ago when the settlers came into the prairies and they were lost. And they're the ones on the street, and they're the ones suffering from alcoholism and a high rate of, you know, incarceration in the very city I live in Regina. You know, like 100-some years ago, the shoe was on the other foot because the economy was ours. The buffalo were there. We were, you know, we were hunters and we were gatherers, and we didn't need outside sources to survive. The buffalo provided all that stuff. But now that the buffalo were wiped out and extinct and practically extinct, things have changed, and we are not the owners of the land in a sense anymore. We've been incarcerated on these little places called reservations, and they're economically, you know, small. And so some people want to leave the place to get out of there, and they go to the cities to find, you know, either jobs or employment or, you know, education. And sometimes they fall by the way, and always those are the ones that you see in the street, and it gives Regina a bad name. You know, McLean's magazine is saying, you know, it's the roughest neighborhood in all across Canada, and rightfully so. But yet at the same time, the spirit of humor that helps us live through our situation is in a sense what this script has touched on. You know, we have to find some humor in our alcoholism or addictions and our loss of, you know, our acculturation. And to survive. So I think that's what the script, in a sense, taps into the spirit of that survival. There's a fellow named Don Bernstick who is a humorist and a comedian, and he uses Redskins as a way. The Redskins, you know, you might be a Redskin if, you know, I hear your vehicle coming a lot sooner than I see you, you know, your cars. So, or you might be a Redskin if you hit the reservation and, you know, there's pavement to the reserve, but as soon as you hit the reservation, it's all gravel road and just go bumping, crashing, you know, whatever. Or, you know, like, so there's, and that comes from, I think, you know, the ability to, you know, to poke fun at ourselves and also to be able to help us get out of there, get out of the oppression by having the ability to laugh and saying, hey, look, it's, you know, we got to survive this and let's laugh about it, because it's too hard to live it in real life all the time, 24/7.
One of the things that struck me about the film was how realistic the cold night fell. Thomas' character was dumped by a power station, and they're basically just out in the snow. How cold was it when you were shooting?
It was probably, I don't know, -15 or something. We were lucky, actually. We just pushed the film to avoid a -25 spell that had been on for a couple of weeks, and the weather broke for 5 days. It went from -25 to zero the day we were shooting. So we were really lucky.
Yeah, it was pretty chilly. Yeah. But in the other respect, about a month before that, there was no snow and there was all water, and there was like, it was too much water.
That's right, Errol was going to say.
And I was teasing Sarah and saying, hey, what about Mount Kilimanjaro? We need some snow.
Yeah, such a crucial part of the story, of course. So the situation with Daryl Knight actually happened. I don't know how cold it was, but it was by a power plant.
It was colder than what we were shooting in. You know, it was like -25 or something. Yeah.
I think the crew really got a taste of how cold it was. The Ingenue crew were coming out the first day in runners and just whatever, and then their feet got wet. And, you know, I think it would be not, you know, dishonest to say that these guys felt how cold it was. Because as actors, we sort of would go in and out. We have little places to, you know, we were dressed for it. But the other people didn't realize quite how cold it was. Probably started getting a touch of, you know, hypothermia and started feeling warm. And that's a bad state. If you start feeling warm and tingly and start, you know, enjoying the cold, it means you're freezing.
Getting into hypothermia. Yeah.
Don't tell me that, Errol. I didn't know about that.
That's why what is the way it is today, Sarah?
No, I mean about my students.
Oh.
Yikes.
No, but you
being
only learn one
than
way.
I thought they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, I think so.
But as you're referring to, the film was also a training project for film students and for local filmmakers, and more than a third of the cast and crew combined were First Nations. What was the atmosphere like on the set? Aside from cold.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was fantastic. Every day the students' skill sets jumped like 100%, 100%, 100%. And on the third night, we got kicked off set by a snowstorm, so we had to stop shooting, and that of course made the last night extremely full of scenes that we needed to get. And the students were incredible. It was like walking onto a professional set. They were jumping when things needed to be done. It was amazing. And one student, Tashina, she was just glowing. I don't know if you remember this, but holy moly, she just felt like she'd found her calling, and it really pushed them in a really great way.
Yeah, she wanted to come out to the film festival here. It turned out that she couldn't, but I'm pretty sure she'll be with us in Saskatchewan. And I think the students that were on the set were just, you know, they had an opportunity to actually learn how a film is really done instead of just looking at it through the books and learning through the books. I remember being in film studies classes, and I kind of didn't like film studies classes towards the end because I didn't go to the third and fourth year level, but it was always cerebral. It's always through textbooks. But yet when I got on the set of North of 60 and learned for eight or nine seasons straight, I was watching what the crew was doing. I was learning what they were doing and what all those names at the end of the films are, like gaffers and lighting and whatever, electrics. You sort of figure it out on the fly, and what a way to learn. You know, I think that was the incredible learning experience for the crew that had volunteered and worked really hard. And it's something they're not going to forget, because to be in these festivals like of in Vancouver's status and also on the prairies, you know, we're going to slow the credits down for them to see, wow, as part of something big. And it's, you know, it's probably going to maybe encourage some Aboriginal students to continue this work, and saying there's an art form that can be so powerful that you can learn through this process. And it looks simple when you see it done, but look at all the work and the preparation goes into beforehand.
And do you think that there was a kind of resonance also with the way the story was told and the way it unfolded? Because it was very unusual to me, and something that I guess I associate somehow with a First Nations voice.
Yeah, they all liked it. We had readings in our class. Each person would take on a character and we'd go through the script. Another really interesting thing, too, was I had them read Starlight Tour, The Last Lonely Night of Neil Stonechild, written by Susan Reber and somebody else. And that's quite a riveting read. And a lot of them didn't really, you know, they're from Saskatchewan, but, you know, they were younger when it happened. They didn't really know details, and consciously, unconsciously pushing it away through whatever, you know, their life surroundings were. So I think coming into contact with the issue was extremely educational.
What do you hope that that people will take away from the movie?
For me, I think it's to, you know, to take a second look at people that are dealing with, especially Aboriginal people that are dealing with addictions, that get themselves caught up in the situations that, you know, these people are into. There's out partying and get carried away, and the police have a mindset because they only see us in very traumatic situations sometimes. They don't see us on a, you know, they don't have time to come to bingo or hang around the band office or, you know, hang around. Some of them don't. And they only see us when it's a crisis call. And it's, you know, we've had such an embedded amount of racism in the prairies. We're still, and it's done through media in a sense, like the cowboy Indian mentality. And it's a hard one to break, you know, and we follow into ourselves. Some of us do turn savage when we do have a little bit too much to drink, and bring that spirit onto ourselves. And if we don't educate ourselves and saying, hey, I'm not that. I'm not that image. I'm not that savage. I'm not that wild Indian that the cowboys want to see and circle their wagons and, you know, get ready for us to attack them. You know, it's not as simple as that. We're human beings. We want, you know, our place in society corrected, and yet we're a minority in a sense in the mentality of things. We're actually gaining in strength and numbers in population wise, and that's why, as we leave the reservations, the reserves, and go into the cities, it's sometimes only those small group of people that are getting the headlines, and, you know, they're getting labelized as gang members, and, you know, people that are in trouble with the law and filling up the jails. And, you know, for me, I hope that changes, and say I hope we can find how beautiful it is to be Aboriginal, how strong it is to be in touch with your language and your community, that we have that power to be human beings and to learn to love ourselves and not put ourselves in these precarious situations.
The film's being shown tonight tomorrow night, and Monday at the film festival here. Are you also going to have opportunities to show it to show the film within the First Nations community to First Nations audiences?
Yeah, there's goals like that for the film. And we're actually having a screening in Regina and Saskatoon on October 25th and 27th. And following the screening will be a panel discussion with people from First Nations communities. And the local police chief in Regina will be on the panel. And the discussion will center around Aboriginal police relations.
Well, that's great. And I really encourage people to...
It'll be in Winnipeg as well.
That's right. Oh, yeah. And...
Yeah.
I haven't told you this, Errol, yet. What? Our United States world premiere, well, not world premiere, but wow. United States premiere is the American Indian Film Festival in San Francisco.
Holy all moly. Right. Turtle Island.
I just found out this morning.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And thank you so much for joining me this morning. Thanks, Errol, for squeaking in here at the last moment. It's been great to have you.
Come on out, Vancouver. We're in town.
All right. I've been speaking with producer Sarah Abbott and with actor Errol Canestino. And though Out in the Cold will be showing as part of MAPS, a program of 5 short Canadian films. And you can see this program tomorrow night at 9:45 and on Monday afternoon at 3, both at the Granville 7.